The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Clinical basis of the immune response and the complement cascade is presented by Dr. Brian Martin.
All right, now it's time for something completely different. I want to talk about the immune response and the complement cascade. Easy, right? So first of all, I just want to say, y'all who are still here, I commend you. Wow, what a long day. This is a hard day. We're going to try to keep it fun and enough that you'll stay awake at least through part of this. So really what I want to do is talk about immunology. And everybody thinks that immunology is hard to learn. There are just a lot of details we get bogged down in. If for every rule that we have, there's at least one exception. The immune response is something that's been studied to an incredible degree. We are doubling our knowledge on immunology every 1 to 2 years. And so really what that means is this is a great source for questions. It's also got an arcane language unto itself, which again provides a wealth of questions. So this is what I'm going to talk about for the next 30 minutes. I want to talk about what happens when we are presented with a foreign object, when we're presented with a microbe of some type. We want to talk about what our innate immune system does, how our macrophages work, how our macrophages then turn on our lymphocytes by moving to the T lymphocytes, which then stimulate our B lymphocytes. We end up on the bottom of this particular cartoon with effective macrophages, antibodies, and an effective immune response. This is an easy slide, right? Y'all have it, right? So let's look at what that slide is actually showing us, that our immune system is made up of an innate immune system and an adaptive immune system. The innate, to the first line of defense, has to be fast. It has to be nonspecific. So to get a system that is fast-acting and nonspecific, we have to give up some things. There is no protective immunity, there's no memory. So our innate immune system is a phagocytic system. If we look then at the specific immune system, this has to be activated. It's not ready to go at all times. It is very specific, and the price we pay for specificity is in speed. It's a slower system. We can have protective immunity, we can have memory, and this is a lymphocyte-based system. So the innate immune system is present in all animals, and they have this naturally and always ready. And the components are the complement system and the phagocytic system, or our macrophages. Many times we add physical barriers, the skin and the mucous membranes, as part of the innate immune system that is very protective for us. So we're out in the garden, we get a little splinter. Our physical barrier is broached. The splinter has bacteria on it. So what happens next is our innate immune system kicks in very quickly to begin to defend against those microbes, but it's not very specific. And we'll talk about the fact that bacteria actually give off signals that our body recognizes and can identify bacteria as bacteria and can increase the capacity of our innate immune system to respond. So the macrophage is there. And I always think about, when I first heard about macrophages, when I first looked at biology, I thought of them as these cells that sort of lived in the bloodstream or somewhere. But macrophages are like black Labradors. I love black labs. I have black labs. And what black labs do is they wander the house. making sure that all is in order. If you have a baby asleep, they go check and they make sure the baby's asleep. So they wander through the house. And our macrophages are like black Labradors. They're in the tissues, trying to wander through the tissues, making sure everything is okay. And suddenly, everything's not okay. They recognize a bacteria, and they phagocytize it. They eat it. So a macrophage is a professional phagocytic cell. So when the macrophage phagocytoses a bacteria, a number of things happen. First of all, the macrophage gets really excited. The poor macrophage has been waiting all his or her life to find a bacteria. And so when he finds one, he gets extraordinarily excited and begins to just release cytokines to tell everybody that A, he's engaged in this battle, and B, that he's protecting the body and doing a wonderful job. So these cytokines then act to signal other immune cells that there's a problem, not a problem somewhere, but a problem here. And they attract other professional phagocytic cells into the area to help provide this area defense. We call that inflammation. And so this cytokines is one of these arcane languages that we have in immunology, and we'll walk a little bit through the cytokine alphabet soup, but think about cytokines as a way for cells to speak to one another. These are very low concentration peptides that work through high affinity receptors. And what's really cool is if I'm a macrophage and I get all excited and I start releasing IL-2, if I start releasing excitatory interleukins, it feeds back on myself and I become more excited by the fact that I've started to release these cytokines. So we have a wide range of cellular effects that are mediated through these cytokines. And our macrophages begin the inflammatory response with cytokine release. So my macrophage, who's so excited about finding this bacteria, releases IL-1 that activates vascular endothelium, and we'll see why that's so important in a moment. IL-8 is our chemoattractant, and so it just says, hey guys, I need help here, I've got a problem. And then TNF-alpha that not only activates our vascular endothelium, but it increases vascular permeability. So when our other macrophages, when our neutrophils come into the area, they can come from the vascular system into the tissue. IL-6 is for lymphocyte activation, and it increases antibody production. We haven't talked about the specific response yet, but I already am beginning to show that the innate response and the specific response work hand in hand and help one another. And finally, IL-12, which activates NK cells, starts to induce differentiation of CD4 cells into a Th1 type of a reactivity. One of the reasons it's so important that we stimulate the vascular endothelium is because of CAMs, cellular adhesion molecules. What an incredible thing. This is a name in medicine that actually describes what something does. How rare is that? So CAMs are just that. They're cellular adhesion molecules. They're Velcro. They're biologic Velcro. So we have cell surface molecules that have matching ligands on other cells so that when they come in contact, they can maintain that contact. It allows cell-to-cell binding for communication and for homing. So the expression of CAMs, of cellular adhesion molecules, is variable and it's under some relatively complex control. One that we really is very important for immunology is the intercellular adhesion between ICAM1 on antigen-presenting cells, and then we have lymphocytes that have LFA1, and that allows antigen-presenting cells to bind to and talk to, communicate with our T cells. And again, more on that in just a minute or two. But here we are. We're down underneath the basement membrane. We're a macrophage. and we're in the fight of our lives and we want help. So we've stimulated the vascular endothelium to say, I need help here. We need to get more neutrophils into this area. So what happens is the ICAMs are exposed. ICAMs that will match our neutrophils. And so as our neutrophils are streaming by in the bloodstream, these ICAMs begin to catch our neutrophils and allow those neutrophils to slow down. They aren't good enough to just go, it's not a catcher's mitt. It doesn't stop them immediately, but they begin to catch. The neutrophils begin to slow down. They are no longer in a laminar flow. They begin to roll along the endothelial membrane. And because we have also stimulated our vascular endothelium to be more permeable, they can then come down into the tissue to the area of inflammation. So, overall, macrophages, sentinels, they guard a large perimeter. They have the standard recognition capacity to recognize non-self and ingest non-self. When there's an infection, they ingest and they destroy the organism. Then they use cytokines to create an inflammatory response and to begin to get help in the area. IL-1, TNF-alpha, and IL-8 magnify the innate response, and then antigen-presenting cells are activated macrophages that home to the lymph node. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about antigen-presenting cells and this homing capacity in just a moment. So we have our other cells in our innate immune system. We have our professional phagocytic cells, our macrophages, our neutrophils. We have eosinophils, basophils, and mast cells. And those are for parasitic infections. If it's too big to ingest, the mast cell can be dragged to the site of the parasite where it can release materials in an attempt to kill the parasite. And then we have NK cells, or killers of cells that have gone bad, either those who have become infected with viruses and are now becoming viral factories, or those that have become cancerous. Still with the innate immune system, if we don't hold that infection in our inflammatory site in the tissues and these bacteria escape into the bloodstream, we have a completely different innate system waiting for them. The complement system is there to protect us with bloodborne infections, and what they do is they too can recognize standard foreign invaders like bacteria, and they can create a MAC complex that punches holes into these bacterial cells, or they can attach themselves to bacteria to allow macrophages to work better. So again, we're going to work hand in hand inside the innate immune system with complement and with opsonization to allow bacteria to be ingested more easily. So our complement can be turned on with antibodies, IgG and IgM. I'll say that 6 times. IgM and IgG are the 2 antibodies that can create a complement response. And then what they do is, by attaching to microbes, they can lyse the microbe, they can increase inflammation, we'll talk about that in a minute, and they can help with phagocytosis. So the complement is a very efficient structure to help us get rid of bacteria in the bloodstream. And we have 3 complement pathways. The complement numerical system was designed by the folks. They were numbered for when they were discovered, not for when they operate. So we have these odd different ways of complement to come together. So the important things here, I think, for test purposes, 3 different complement pathways: classical, the mannan bind and lectin pathway, and the alternative pathway. And so each of these come together at C3. It's 3 different ways to get to C3. But at C3, they're all going to come together. With the classical pathway, we have antigen-antibody complexes. Again, IgM, most effective, and IgG bind complement. With the mannan binding lectin system, we have these mannan binding lectin that bind mannose on pathogen surfaces. And then the alternative pathway also binds directly to pathogen surfaces. And although they all initiate the complement cascade differently, they all converge at C3 convertase. And this diagram just shows how they can help. Because our macrophages have C3 receptors on their surfaces, that C3 receptor can recognize C3 on a bacteria, and it makes it easier to ingest. If that bacteria has C3 and antibody, it's even easier to ingest and makes our phagocytosis more efficient. This is an important slide. So here are my ABCs of complement. So when we cleave complement into two different units, an A unit and a B unit, A is for anaphylatoxin. A is the smaller cleavage fragment. So C3A, C4A, and C5A are all mediators of local inflammation. C5A is most effective, C4A is least effective. B is for binding. So the B fragment, or the larger fragment, with C3B binds to complement receptors on phagocytes and allows them to have effective opsonization. C5B associates with the bacterial membrane, and that forms the membrane attack complex. C4B it's a weak opsonin. So once the innate immune system has been active for a little bit of time, it learns from this, from what's going on, and fine-tunes its response by turning on the adaptive immune system. So this fine-tuned or adaptive immune response is more specifically targeted to a particular cell type and is more effective. So this is our adaptive immune system because it adapts to a specific situation, and its hallmark is specificity. And the cells of the adaptive immune system are lymphocytes. We have cell-mediated immunity through our T cells, our T helper cells, T killer cells, and our T regulatory cells, and these are most important for viral, fungal, and intracellular infections. And then we have humoral immunity with our B cells. These are our antibody creators, and these are most important for extracellular bacterial infections, and we'll hit on all that a little bit later. This is fascinating and testable. So if the hallmark of our lymphatic system is specificity, our B cells and T cells have to recognize specific antigens. And I've put this sort of this little figure up here, the facial figure that shows where facial recognition systems look to determine one face from another face. When our T cells and our B cells are created, all of the receptors on each individual cell are identical. So a single cell can only recognize a single antigen. But we need 10 to 100 million different and unique antigen receptors to protect us from the world at large. So we need 10 to 100 million different types of lymphocytes in our repertoire to be protected. And this unique antigen receptor is constructed early, and it has to have selection. If we have a lymphocyte that doesn't recognize self, because it must recognize self versus non-self. So if our lymphocyte doesn't recognize self, it must be destroyed. Conversely, if our lymphocyte loves self, if it attaches to self with high affinity, then it can create autoimmunity. And that cell, too, must be destroyed. So lymphocytes who can't recognize self are cold out. Lymphocytes who love self too much are cold out. Our B cells mature in the bone marrow. They go to the lymphoid follicles, and their antigen receptor is really an immunoglobulin molecule. Our T cells mature in the thymus, and the estimate is that only 5% of all of our T cells survive the trip through the thymus. And if we have a bodily area where we're willing to destroy 95% of the cells created, that must be a pretty important place to be. They go to the paracortical area in the lymph nodes, and their antigen receptor is a T cell receptor. And so the T cell receptor on the bottom looks an awful lot like the antigen binding site of an antibody on the top. So we go back to our antigen stimulation of a T cell, and a specific T cell proliferates in response to a matching antigen only when the antigen is presented properly. And so when I left innate immunity, I left this at the antigen-presenting cell. And this antigen-presenting cell is what is needed to turn on our T cells, to present the antigen to the T cell in an appropriate fashion. So what happens is, we have this area of inflammation that I described a little while ago. We've been calling neutrophils into the area. We've been phagocytizing the bacteria. At some point, our macrophage says, I'm done battling this out. I've captured my bacteria. I've killed my bacteria. I can put bacterial pieces on my cell wall that comes from the vacuole that I created to kill this bacteria. I need to go talk to the T cells. And so think about this. This macrophage has no eyes, no GPS. It's been called to an area of inflammation from the bloodstream. It's made a decision that it's done enough. It changes the cell surface markers. It changes its homing proteins and says, now it's time to go to the lymph node. Well, the antigen-presenting cell, has to figure out how to get into the lymphatic system and how to be swept to the lymph node so that it can then present its antigen to the T cell. So our dendritic cells, macrophages, even B cells can be antigen-presenting cells. They process antigen, and they process antigen and fit it into their MHC cleft. So it's really an MHC peptide complex that it's exposing to the outside of its surface. And it also provides a co-stimulatory second signal. So when an antigen-presenting cell is binding processed antigen and transporting it to the cell surface, with MHC1, we are processing antigen from the cytosolic compartment, and we're presenting it to CD8 cytotoxic T cells. So MHC1, cytosolic compartment, think viruses, being presented to CD8 T cells, which can kill virally infected cells. MHC2 is going to process antigen from vesicular compartments, where they have phagocytosed something, destroyed it in a vacuole. They're taking proteins from that vesicular compartment, and they're presenting it on the cell surface, and they will present to CD4 cells, which will lead to antibody production. So if we think about how these specific T cells are produced, we have to have 100 million different kinds of T cells. Though they mature in the thymus, I already talked about the fact that if they don't recognize self, they die. If they love self, they die. So when one of these T cells that has survived the trip through the thymus is stimulated, then it begins to clonally proliferate. It begins to make more copies of itself. And I just threw this down on the bottom. If you think about, there are about a trillion T cells in your body right now. And if we have to have 100 million different T cells, that means there are only about 10,000 T cells per specific receptor that we need to have protecting us. So when our antigen-presenting cells go to the lymph nodes, they have a difficult job to do. We're going to turn on our CD8 cytotoxic T cells because these are going to present with MHC1, and what they do and why it's so important that they present cytosolic antigens is they have cytotoxicity that is specific and directional. And so essentially what they do is they recognize cells that are infected with viruses or cells that are cancerous. And they go up, they give those cells the big hug and create perforins in the cell membranes to kill the cells. So as we look at our T cells being stimulated, if they're stimulated for cell-mediated immunity, they do that through a Th1 pathway. They produce IL-2, TNF-beta, and interferon gamma. If they are stimulated toward humoral immunity, they're stimulated toward producing IL-4, IL-5, and IL-10. So that if we have this Th1, Th2 paradigm with IL-2, TNF, and interferon gamma, we're activating macrophages and cytotoxic T cells for intracellular killing and cytotoxicity. So we're going to facilitate cell-mediated immunity, and this will inhibit Th2 proliferation. If we have Th2 proliferation, we're stimulating with IL-4, IL-5, and IL-10. We're activating B cells. We're creating antibody production to neutralize extracellular pathogens like bacteria and toxins. So facilitating humoral immunity inhibits Th1 proliferation in cellular immunity. So what determines which pathway we're going to use? It's the type of pathogen. So an innate immune response creates the pathway to push the specific immune response either toward a cytotoxic mechanism or toward a humoral antibody mechanism. It also depends on the host's immune underlying constitution and the density of the antigen that is presented on the surface of the antigen-presenting cell. High density pushes it toward Th1, lower density pushes it toward Th2. So where does this adaptive immune response, if we only have a few T cells and B cells for a particular antigen, how are we going to get that antigen-presenting cell and that T cell together? And we do that in the secondary lymph organ, specifically in the lymph nodes. So the lymph nodes are the adaptive immunity meeting area. As pathogens and as our macrophages drain with the lymph fluid into the lymph node, T cells and B cells are there. But T cells and B cells have a little bit of ADHD. They get a little bored hanging out at a single lymph node. So our T cells and our B cells will move from lymph node through the lymphatic system, making it more likely that they'll come into contact with an appropriate antigen-presenting cell. And when an antigen-presenting cell and the appropriate T cell come together and the lymph node becomes activated, we get swollen lymph nodes. So here's our lymph node, and I always liken a lymph node to an eighth grade dance. Now, eighth grade may be different today than it was when I went to school and walked uphill both ways, blah, blah, blah. But my eighth grade dances, the girls all danced together in the middle of the room in a big group, and the guys were in these little groups around the periphery, around the outside edge, talking about sports, blah, 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 blah. And that's what the lymph node is. So all the T cells are the girls, and they're dancing in the pericortical and the medullary area, and all the boys are hanging out in their little follicular groups around the outside edge. So when the antigen-presenting cell gets to the lymph node, it's going to go to the dance floor. And it's going to be essentially going up to every T cell it can find and saying, are you the one? No, are you the one? And so the poor antigen-presenting cell can get rejected a number of times before it finds the appropriate T cell that says, yes, yes, I've waited for you all my life. I am so happy to find somebody that finally has the appropriate antigen. I can't believe you found me. And so that creates an activation cycle. And the T cell, once activated, then goes to those crazy boys who are just hanging out along the outside edge doing nothing, and goes out there and starts to get our follicles to expand and to become germinal centers where our antigen-producing cells, our B cells, are found. So our B cells, when stimulated, are going to turn into antibody factories or plasma cells. It takes about a week for them to start making antibody after the first exposure. And again, these are very specific cells. There's only one antigen that they're going to respond to, and then they're going to undergo clonal selection or clonal proliferation. When we look at our antibodies, all of our antibodies are shaped like a Y. It's important that we know the FAB region, the top region, that determines what that's going to react to. And then the bottom part, or the stem of the Y, our FC region, that determines the class of antibody. IgM is a pentamer. There are five heads hooked together. IgA is a dimer. And IgG, IgE, and IgD are monomers. So I'm going to skip this slide on the basis of time because I'm starting to run out of time. When we look at cell-mediated immunity, there's a flaw in antibody response to viruses that can hide out inside of a cell. So once the virus gets into a host cell, antibodies get to it, which is why it can't get to it, which is why we need our cytotoxic T cells. So finally, we get to the cells of the immune system. We have our B lymphocytes, our T lymphocytes, we have cytotoxic T cells, and we can have NK cells. So when we look at adaptive immunity and innate immunity, adaptive immunity does have memory. Once the infection is gone, most of the cells that were produced will die off. A few will stay behind as memory cells, and the next time you see that same thing, the immune system kicks in much faster, you're immune. So here we see the phases of the immune response with our very fast innate response, and then a somewhat slower humoral response. The next time that you're exposed, because of those memory cells, we have a much higher response rate and a much quicker response rate, which is immunity. Vaccination does the same thing. We have that same secondary response. So we have an innate system that identifies danger, directs the response of the specific system to target response to a particular site, and provides the firepower then for the adaptive immune system because of complement and phagocytosis. So our innate and our adaptive immunity system work together. In 30 minutes and 40 seconds, thanks for the extra 25 seconds, Tim, we've gone the whole way around the circle of this slide. And with that, I'll give the floor back to Tim and wish you good luck.